your is mine. Mountain and plain with his praises shall swell. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Unto the uttermost, he's wonderful and he's glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine. There on the cross where he died for my sin, oh, what a Savior is mine. Giving his life a poor wanderer to win. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Rising again in his infinite grace. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Shedding upon me the light of his face. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Lifting my burdens, relieving my care. Savior is mine, giving me courage to do and to dare. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Savior is mine. Unto the uttermost, he's wonderful and he's glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
You know what music's for? It's to get you to think, muse. My eyes well up when I think about that song. You know why? Because it makes me think about my Savior. Makes me think where I came from. Where he found me. Thank you, Miss Camp. We need to think, kids. That's why we're preaching. That's why this is a conference. And I tell you what, I've got as much out of this conference and camps as an adult. And I wish you could take you. I wish you could have your whole church here.
Amen.
I wish every adult, every parent, every
yes,
you
amen.
Know, it's a youth conference. No, it's not a youth conference. It's a Bible conference.
Amen.
And it's just Bible. Thank you, Brother Angel. And I tell you what, kids, there wasn't that many points. And if you're within those age groups, that's just what you do. You just do it. Get with the program. And without this, your heart won't burn. The thing with voices last night, cutting off the other voices, getting that one voice, getting single, and then getting with the program. Brother Jeremy Ogdy preached a
Yep.
A message at camp.
Mm-hmm.
Called Trampling the Honeycomb. And he said something in the message, and it's so true. A lot of times we come to camp and conferences, and we hear speakers like Dr. Mike Ray and Dr. Terry Angel and Brother Keith Gomez and Eric Capace. And we sometimes lose sight, and we see them and they're giants for that week, and they are. And God uses them mightily that week. But sometimes as young people and even church members, you know what we forget who the giants are around our church. We forget about the ones that are with us when we're sick. And when we're having problems. And we just need someone to talk to. You know who's there? Our pastor. Kids, you know who's there? Your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what we do? We trample that.
Yep.
Sometimes. And that's what worries me a little bit about conferences and camps. But I thank God for men that, you know what, they come in and they try to focus you back to your local church and your pastor. And I thank God for the man that's about to speak this morning. He's my pastor. He's not just my boss. He's my pastor. He's helped me. His messages help me. His counsel helps me. He's there when I'm down. He's there to cheer me when I'm up. He's there for me and my family and every family in this church. From the bus kids all the way to the senior saints, he's there for us. Let's don't trample the honeycomb. Preacher, I thank God for you. And my favorite speaker this week is this man right here, Dr. Bob Smith. God bless you, Brother Smith. Come on.
Thank you. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. I am excited about being here and more excited about you being here. Now, Brother Eric, this is a little bit loud for me, so if you'll turn it down just a little. Brother Eric, that's too much. No. Brother Eric's filling in our sound room. Thank you, son. That's fine. Boy, we're excited about being here, but I'm more excited about your being here today. Thank you for coming and being in your place with your Bible open, notepads out, pencil in hand. Those of you that can write. Mrs. Graff, thank you for being here to play the piano. What a blessing. Every week when I come to the church, hear the music. I remember when I first came here, the piano player that was here felt led to leave, and she went with others, and for a long time we didn't have a piano player. Miss Badger played the organ. She filled in from time to time, but there were times we didn't have a piano player. And if we had a piano player, we didn't have an organ player, because the organ player's playing the piano and vice versa and so forth. And boy, we needed someone. There wasn't anybody else. And I challenged the kids in the church. I said, some of you young people, some of you little boys and girls ought to say, Mama, Daddy, I want to learn how to play the piano. And start taking lessons. And I said, who knows? You might become our church pianist one day. Well, there's one little girl took me up on it. She's our church pianist today. Since then, numbers of young people have began to learn how to play the piano. And we're grateful for that. Don't just sit back and wait for somebody else. You're important to God. You're important to God right now. Decisions you... She made a decision as a little girl that's put her on a piano bench as a mother and a woman serving God in a very prominent place in our church. What a blessing. How many young men have felt God's call in your life to full-time ministry? Would you raise your hand? Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting. What a blessing. How many of young ladies feel like God has a calling in your life for Him in the future? Would you raise your hand? You feel like God has a calling in your life? That is exciting. What an exciting thing to see God at work. As a young preacher, I realized that God's will for my life did not just involve me. It involved others. By the way, we are here for others. You do realize you're here today because somebody in the generation ahead of you cared about you. And God intends for you not just to live for yourself, but realize there's a generation coming behind you that you're responsible for. God's plan is that one generation prays His name to the next. And that's how the Word of God is carried on and the gospel's carried on. But I want to say to you preacher boys, God did not call you just to give you a ministry. God called you because He has a people for you. There is a people waiting for you to obey the calling of God in your life. You mess around, play around, mess up your life, delay God's calling being fulfilled through your life, and there's people that are hurting, people that are suffering, people God intended for you to minister to. Does not have a pastor, does not have a preacher, does not have a missionary because you chose to play games. We have young men in Bible college now that's out of Bible college because they didn't realize the importance of God's calling and they lived just to please themselves. And if they ever finish Bible college, it'll be a while in the future. I wonder how many people that die and go to hell because they were not faithful to obey the will of God for their lives. One of the last conversations I had with Dr. Hiles, we were sitting at Black Eyed Pea and eating lunch together. And he said, "Brother Smith, one of the things that's heavy on my heart is boys and girls that delay God's will in their life. One of these days they'll have to stand before God and give an account of numbers of people that miss the blessings of knowing God because they chose to live for themselves." I want to speak to you today on this subject. For me or for thee, Lord? For me or for thee? Those two statements characterizes your life. You're either living it just for you. No thought of anybody else. It's just about you. I pray some of you have come to the realization that life is more than you. It's about Him. And that you've chosen to give your life to Him and live your life for Him. For me, or for thee? Who are you living for? The theme of this conference, look beyond me. When you look beyond you, you'll see Him. And when you see Him, you'll see the multitudes that He gave Himself for. Stand with me and we'll begin to read in verse number 9 of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Solomon is writing to young people, and listen, he says, "Rejoice O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. That's how most young people live. That's sight living and feeling living. Well, I feel like I want to do this, or I want that. I see that and I want that. God said, if you want to as a young person, you can live that way. And may I say to you, God knows that's the way most young people live. Wanting what they see and doing what they feel. God says, walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes, but, you ought to circle that word but, know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. God says, you can live for you. You can do what you want to, go where you want to, live like you want to. Give your life for just getting the things you see and your heart desires. But understand, you're going to have to face God for it. You're going to have to give an account of it. He says, therefore, because you've got to face God, remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. He's saying, when you live to fulfill what you see, get what you see, and do what you feel like doing, sight living and flesh living. Said, when you do that, you've wasted your life. He says, for childhood and youth are vanity, worthless, worthless. I want you to realize that if you're saved today, or even if you're not saved, God has a purpose for your life. There are no accidents with God. You're here for His glory. You're here for His purpose. Life is not primarily about you, it's about Him. How to please Him and glorify Him. Today I want you to consider the question, am I living my life just for me? I want to get what I see and do what I feel like doing. That's where most of you are living right now. Young people struggle every day in their life, being influenced by what they see and what they feel. But your life's more than seeing and feeling. Verse number one, he says, remember now. Remember now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Father, help me in the next few minutes to say some things that will add and strengthen to what these preachers have so powerfully said this week. Help me to say something that will be an encouragement and a help to a young person as they seek direction for their life. And may we grow to that place in Christ Jesus that life is more than just wanting what I see and doing what I feel like doing. But that we might seek You. We might give ourselves to You. And we not be content just to live for me. But that we might yield our life to Thee for Thy glory and for Thy praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Solomon's speaking to the youth. He's telling young men and young women that God will allow you to live any way you desire. You can live by sight. You can live by feeling. You've got the ability to make those choices, but you must live with the consequences of those choices. May I say to you, the sum total of your life, whether it's blessed of God or judged of God, whether you live a life in chastisement or a life in blessing, is going to be determined by the decisions you make in your youth. You can live like you want to. You can ignore God. You can ignore the Bible. You can ignore the preacher. You can ignore mama and daddy. But you can't do that without consequences. And God said He'd bring us into judgment. We've got to face God with those decisions. You can choose to live a life hating, live a life blaming others. You can choose to live a life criticizing and finding fault. You can choose to live your life in submission to the Word of God and the will of God and have a future. Have a life worth living and heaven to look forward to also. Your choices will not only affect your life here, they'll impact lives of future family members. Your choices will affect your wife or your husband in the future. Your choices will affect your children and your grandchildren in the future. The Bible says in Numbers 14, verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. Then He said, He'd visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate Him. If you want to, you can live without God. You can live in the world. You can live for the devil. You can live to gain those things you see and you crave. You can live to fulfill the desires and the feelings of the flesh. But you've got to face God for it. And you've got to live a life knowing that your family will be affected by your decisions. Future children and grandchildren. Your husband-wife relationship is going to be affected by the decisions you make. So you can live for self and satisfy the lust and the desires of the flesh if you choose. But remember, God did not create you or save you so you could live to please the flesh and the devil. God did not give you life for only your fun and your pleasure and so-called good time. Created you and saved you for a purpose, and that purpose is His purpose and His will. And young men and young lady, young people all over this country are believing the devil's lies that you can't have a good time as a Christian. And I want you to know the devil's a liar. He's a liar. I look at these young men that are men now, and my soul, nobody had more fun than they had serving God. Mike Ray stands up here and tells you story after story of things they used to do and the fun they used to have. That was clean fun, right fun, most of it. He made a choice, and God's blessing him now. Blessing his family because of choices he made. Be sure you understand that God has not set you loose in a world just to drift. God has a purpose for your life, and the devil is doing everything he can to get you off course for God. To get you out of the will of God. To get you to go back on your decisions for God. The devil is doing everything he can to get you to doubt that God is real and that God is able. We have young people from time to time that make a commitment of their life to God 1 year and next year go back on it. And you can do that, but you can't do it and not pay the consequences. He said, yes, you can walk in your own ways and in the sight of thine eyes. You can do You can live your life to fulfill the desires of thine heart. But you've got to face God then in judgment. God will bring thee into judgment. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand what that means. Verse number 10, he says, therefore, because you've got to face God with your life, because our life is meant for a purpose and for the glory of God, and because we must face God, therefore, remove the sorrow and anger caused by our lust and guilt and flesh. Well, Brother Ray preached on this yesterday. Get rid of it. Remove it. How do you remove it? Put it under the blood of Jesus. Forgive those that hurt you. Forgive those you think that offended you. He says, put away evil from the flesh. Crucify it. Die to your will. Die to yourself. You don't have to do what you want to do and be happy. It is the devil's lie that you can't be happy if you don't fulfill the flesh. The truth is, if you fulfill what the flesh craves, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be sorrowful. You're going to live your life filled with regret. Put it away. How do I do that? Die to yourself. Die to the flesh. Like Brother Angel said a moment ago, establish principles for your life. Decide now how you're going to live. I'm going to let the Word of God guide me. I'm going to live by divine principles. Now, you can't let the flesh do what it wants to do and live by divine principles. They contradict. And guess who's the deciding factor in this? It's not your youth pastor. It's not your mom and dad. It's you. It's you. You want mom and dad to treat you like an adult? Start thinking differently. Start thinking. Make decisions. Make decisions that will honor God and glorify God. Make decisions that will not wreck your life. You see, you don't see around the corner. You don't see over the hill. You see only right now what's before you. You're making decisions on how you feel in your flesh, what you see at the moment. You've not been down the road 10 years. You don't know what's around the corner. Mom and Dad do. Make decisions that will honor God. God's telling us to look beyond me. Look beyond this moment in my life called my youth. Look to God and His Son and come to the conclusion in the presence of God that our life is not just about me, nor is it just for me, but it's for the dear Lord. Who am I going to live my life for? For me? Or thee? Did you create you? Do you provide the air you breathe? Is it you that makes your heart beat within you? Is it you that gave you the intelligence and the ability to think? Our life is a gift from God. Our physical life, our spiritual life is a gift from God. We are His by creation and we're His by redemption. God wants us to live our life, not for me, but for Him. But for Him. And that's what these verses are about. Solomon is saying, yes, you can live like you want to. Yes, you can be a rebel. Yes, you can follow the flesh. Yes, you can live by sight. Yes, you can allow the world to decide your future. Yes, you can roll with the flow. But you'll suffer the consequences in this life. And then you got to face God. He says, here's the better way. remember now thy Creator. While you're a young person, remember your need of God. Remember you were created by God and for God. Remember you were saved, not just to get you to heaven, but so you could have a relationship with God and fulfill the will and the purpose of God for your life. Glorify Him now. When you look beyond me, when I look beyond me, guess who I see? I see a holy, holy, holy God. The first thing I realize is my need of a Savior. I've never gotten to the point in my Christian life where I think God really got something when He got me. Every day I realize I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Every day I realize that if God had given me what I deserved, I'd burn in hell forever and ever. But He loved me. He saved me. Some of you think that God owed it to you to die on the cross. God owed it to you to suffer the wrath against your sin. No, He who is holy, holy, holy did not deserve to die for me and you. He deserved all honor and glory and praise, yet He willingly laid down His life for us. And when we look beyond ourselves, we'll see Jesus. And when we look beyond ourselves, we'll realize, I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. I need to come to the understanding that if I'm going to get the most out of my life, then I must not only accept Jesus as my Savior, I must live my life to please Him, surrender to His will. He knows best for me. If I'm going to get the most out of my life, I've got to understand that I must learn to obey Him now. He wants us to understand this fact. Because we are sinners, even though we're saved, we still have that sin nature. And because we are sinners, there is a process going on in our life. It begins the day we're born. And it's a heart-hardening process. And a neck-stiffening process. And a life-rebelling process. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1, he calls it the evil days. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come nigh, and or the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While you're young, while your heart's tender, while your life is being your character is being formed, and the purpose of your life is being realized. Remember, now you need God. Don't choose to live by sight. Don't choose to live by feelings. Don't choose to major on me. There is one who is worthy of our love. There is one who is worthy of our life. There is one who is worthy that I should choose to live for. And I want you to look at this preacher. This September, I'll start my 43rd year in the ministry. This August, I'll start my 43rd year in the ministry. This August, I'll start my 53rd year as a Christian. You're looking at one preacher that has never regretted one day that I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I had 10,000 lives to live, I'd want to live for Him and be His preacher in every one of them. And if God didn't call me, I'd want to serve Him with my life. Long before Mrs. Smith and I knelt at an altar as a husband and wife and gave our life to God to preach the gospel, we'd already decided that we're going to live our life for Him and build our marriage around Him and raise our children for Him. devil doesn't have anything that can compare to what God has for us. Let me just point out two or three things quickly. It is essential for you to understand that you and your life are important to God now. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your IQ is, what your talents are, what your abilities are. I'm tired of people talking about potential. Potential is usually what's never used. Oh, that guy had great potential to be a great athlete, but he didn't make it. He had the potential of being a great student. Potential is usually what we never accomplish, what we never use. I'm grateful for those that may be just a one-talent preacher. They don't have great personality, don't have super intelligence. They're not 6'2" and super athletic, may not even be good looking or handsome. But they come to the realization that God created them and God saved them, and it is essential that right now, while you're young, you give your life to God. Right now. God doesn't get interested in us only after we're 20 or 21. Fact is, most people that get saved before age 18. And stats show that in America, if a person's not saved by age 18, 85% of them never will get saved. Remember now, you need God now. Not after you get to be 20 or 21 or 22. Now, God cares about you now. God has a purpose for your life now. He has a will for you now. He has a place for you now, a people for you now. It may be a little Sunday school class in a Bible-believing church. It may be a bus route. It may be a people on a foreign mission field. It may be a church to pastor and lead. But God has a will for your life now. And God's will is never a life of isolation. It's always a life given for others. Others. God calls out from Scripture to every young person to remember that you need God now. He does not want to save you in 20 years. He wants to save you now. God does not want you to serve Him in 20 years. He wants you to start now. Now is the key word. Psalm 39:5 says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth." What that means is you're going to wake up one day and realize that your life's gone. You've wasted it. He wants you to remember the next statement, "Mine age is as nothing to God." He can use a young boy to be a king, a good king at an early age. You don't have to wait until you're 30. You don't have to wait until you're out of college. And may I say to you young men that feel God's called you to preach, God's not going to make a preacher out of you. You're His preacher now if He's called you. Act like it. It may be years before you pastor a church or you serve as a missionary or you serve on a church staff. But if God called you, you're His preacher now. Serve Him now. Live for Him now. Some of you young ladies feel like God wants you to be the helpmeet of a preacher. Don't wait until then to start preparing. Prepare now. Now, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Make those decisions early. Make them now. If God saves you as a young person, He wants you to get baptized as a young person. He wants you to get in church and serve Him faithfully as a young person. In Sunday school and church. He wants you to be a soul winner as a young person. He wants you to read your Bible and have a prayer life as a young person. He wants you to be separate from sin and the world as a young person. And by the way, what I've just given you is God's will for every Christian. You say, but I don't know what God's perfect will for my life is in the future. Don't worry about the future. Do now what you know is right in the will of God. And while you're busy serving Him now, God will begin to pull back the curtains and let you see next year and next month and then a little more. And then He'll reveal to you His will and His purpose and His calling as you're faithful serving Him now. It wasn't in a backslidden state that God called me into the ministry. While Mrs. Smith and I were faithful serving God in a local church, faithful serving in a Sunday school class, faithful going soul winning, faithfully tithing, that God revealed to me the next step in my life. You say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. You don't have to know. Just surrender to the will of God. Surrender while you're young and let God in His time show you the next step. Just surrender and do what you know you ought to do. Do the known will of God for your life at that time. Well, God wants me to be a good preacher. Where? Well, I don't know. So what do you do? What's the most important thing you do if you're going to be a good preacher? Be a good Christian right now. Be a good Christian. If you're going to be a good pastor's wife, a missionary, a teacher, be a good Christian now. One of the greatest heartaches I have in the pastorate is dealing with people that live by sight and flesh in their youth. And now then as 25, 30, 40, 50 years of age, they're trying to build a family and live for God, and they're having to deal with junk and garbage from sight living and feeling living when they were young. The decisions you make in your Christian life while you're in your youth will determine how God will deal with you later on in your life. It was the decisions Joseph made as a 17-year-old boy, sold as a slave, and for the next 13 years until he is 30, mistreated, lied about, put in prison, forgotten. It was his decisions he made as a teenager that resulted in God promoting him at the age of 30 to the second ruler over all of Egypt. And it's your decisions you make now as a teenager that's going to result in the heartache and the sorrow for your future life. There's young people that have grown up in this church that had great potential, had great possibilities, had great capabilities, and they're not even in church today because they made decisions on the basis of feeling and sight in their teenage years. Now then, they'll cripple through life and never realize God's blessings and God's perfect will for their life. Never. One cannot ignore God in the days of his youth while you sow your wild oats in your youthful life and live in carnality and sin and still expect to reap God's blessings in your later life. You see, the fact is, the seed you're sowing in your teenage years will be full grown and bearing fruit when you're in your 20s and your 30s. And God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. You say, well, bless God, I'm going through this heartache because of mama and daddy. I'm going through it because of the church and the preacher and the youth pastor. No! You'll go through those heartaches because of your own stupid decisions in youth. and you will reap not what I have sown, you will reap what you have sown. And you can decide right now, I'm going to sow the right kind of seeds because I want the harvest to be right when I'm 20 and 30. When I'm married and I've got little children, I want to be reaping the right kind of harvest. Not tears and heartaches and regret. Not sin and shame and waste and ruin. The seed you sow in your teenage years will be full grown and producing a harvest when you're in your 20s and 30s. You can't blame anybody. Oh, you will because of your sin and your flesh. But God said, whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. You want God's blessings when you're 20 and 30? Then sow the right kind of seed now. You want God's approval when you're 20 and 30 and 40 and 50? Then make the right decisions now. You can't live like hell now and be blessed like an angel then. We have a young man in our church. When he's able to come, he sits right up there. His name's Chris Hatcher. Chris is in his late 30s or early 40s now. Chris got saved shortly after I came here, in his late teens, early 20s. But when he got saved, by the time he got saved, his mind had already been fried with drugs. He's saved, but he struggles with assurance constantly. He has no peace. He has memories he can't forget. One of those memories is his little sister, just a few years younger than he, that he taught how to shoot dope. And while shooting dope together, she died of an overdose. His kidneys are messed up, his liver's messed up, his mind's messed up. He's going through all kinds of physical ailments. His life is miserable. He can't hold a job. He'll never get married. He'll never have children. Because he chose to live by sight and feeling when he was your age. And now then, the seed has come up and is producing fruit. And he's reaping what he chose to sow. This isn't what you want for your life, is it? God wants you to remember your need of God now. He wants you to accept His Son as Savior now. He wants you to live for Him in your youth now. He wants you to make those decisions now because there's more to your life than your teenage years. Life doesn't end at 19 for most of us. You sow the wrong seed in your teenage years, you'll live your life in regret and sorrow and heartache and tears in the future. He says, remember, you need me now. Do right now. Make good decisions now. He wants you to live for Him now because this life is not all. Hey, you don't just live down here and die and that's it. You've got to face God. You've got to face God with your life and your decisions. You've got to face God with your actions. I believe you've got to face Him with your attitude and your spirit. You live your life hating and blaming others, you're going to have to answer to God for it because it's not others' fault. You had a choice to forgive. You had a choice to get right. You had a choice to live for God. He wants you to get saved and live for God and give God your life now. Because without Christ, you're going to miss the highest possibilities for your life. fulfillment, happiness, blessings are not going to be found in the world. The devil's not the one that's going to give you the life where you can live in peace and contentment and joy. Devil will give you a little fun for a season and then a life of regret and tears and heartaches. God says, remember you need me now. Live for me now. Decide to give me your life now. I've got a life that's worth living in this world, and I've got a future worth looking forward to after this world. But choose me now. God never intended to become a fire escape from hell. God intended to be our Lord, our God, our Savior, our friend, our companion, our first love. He intended to rule from the throne of our heart and give us the best heaven has to offer for our lives. Oh, remember, we need him now. And I say to you, young people, don't settle for the devil's fourth and fifth and sixth choices in life. God has a first-class life for you. How in the world is it possible for a kid to come out of a Sandyland farm in Myrtle Springs with nothing and be able to pastor a great church and a great people? It wasn't the devil's doing. And it wasn't the public school's doing. It wasn't a college's doing. It was God. God. Remember now, you need God in your youth. Make that decision now, because you can't relive your time. You can't relive your life. Time cannot be recycled. You waste your youth, you waste your life, and it's wasted forever. You've got one life. Choose to live it for God now. You don't know how long that life's going to be. One of my best friends as a boy growing up died in the summer between our junior and senior year. He was killed in an automobile accident. Every time I go back down to Myrtle Springs, I go by his grave and look at his face. 17 years old. That's all he had. I was preaching up in West Portsmouth, Ohio. Young man came to church in his teens, got saved. God stirred his heart. After he got saved, until the revival ended that week, he brought 29 of his friends to church. 21 of them got saved. A year later, I was back at the same church. I said, where is the boy? And I called his name, and the pastor said, oh, that's a sad story. He said about 3 months ago, he got rid of the wrong crowd. They stopped by a 7-Eleven store, and next thing he knew, one of the guys with him held up the 7-Eleven store. He's in prison serving 5 to 10 years. His choice in his youth. Choice in his youth. Remember, life cannot be recycled. You can't say, well, I'll live for myself now, and then I'll have a new start and I'll make up the difference. No, you waste 20 years, it's gone forever. It's gone forever. And the rest of your life is going to be affected by the wasted 20 years. Remember, you need God now. The only life you have to serve God may be in your teenage years. Serve him now. Serve him with all your heart now. Love him now. Be energetic now. Enthusiastic now. Committed now about serving the Lord Jesus. It may be all you have. You may never have a 20th birthday. My friend Larry didn't. Larry got saved the same night I got saved. He never dreamed when he got saved he had only 2 years to live. Only 2 years. And may I say to you that the Bible says God has set boundaries around your life. And you cannot go beyond them. Remember, you need God now. Because you may not have more than your teenage years. And then lastly, remember, you need God now in your youth. Because Jesus is coming again. And he's coming soon. I don't know when he's coming. But I know this. Reading the newspapers like reading Bible prophecy today. There is not one prophecy to be fulfilled before Jesus comes again. His coming is imminent. I believe he could come at any moment. Paul believed he would come in his lifetime. Remember, you need God now because this life is not all there is to life. You only may have your teenage years, and Jesus may come before you're ever 19 or 20 years old. All the life you have to live for God could be what you have right now. You may never finish high school or college. You may never have any other time to live in the will of God than right now. Don't be a fool and waste your youthful life. Don't live it to please me. Don't live it to please the flesh. Don't live it to fulfill the desires of your heart and the sight of your eyes. Remember, now you need God. Now God wants to use your life and bless your life. Make the decision today that I'm not going to live my life for me. But Lord, I'm giving it to thee, not my will, thine be done. Father, thank you for the privilege of sharing my heart with these young people. Oh, I wish I could make the decision for them, but I can't. I couldn't even make it for my wife or my children. I had to make the decision for myself. And so do these young people. Help them not to waste the most wonderful, energetic, exciting time of their life, the days of their youth. Help them while they're young and their hearts tender before the evil days, the heart-hardening days, the stiff-necked days, the rebellious days come. Help them now to decide they're going to give God their life and serve him with all their heart. And begin even today and make every day count for you and not for me, not for self. Help us to settle the question, Lord, am I living for me or am I living for thee? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Those two messages dovetailed together if you didn't.